The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Father, thank you so much for being a God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have. Father, you are everything we need. But there are some times that we will never know that until you are all we have. I pray you will fill your servant today and move me out of the way, that you may say and do whatever to whomever. And Lord, may you encourage us through conviction if we need the conviction. And may you encourage us through the comfort if we need comfort. But Lord, most of all, may we know you. May we see you. Nothing else matters in all the world. In Jesus' name we say, praise God. John chapter 3. We're going to try to do verse 9 through 17 today. Can somebody say miracle? Miracle. Yes, right. That's what we're talking about. We get that far, boy. We're rolling. I know this first service, we got to verse 16. But that was because the enemy didn't want you to hear this sermon. It went nuts in here the first service. Mic's cutting off. Getting another mic, it wouldn't work. Go back to the original mic, it didn't work. And so I just walked off and just started yelling. One way or another, we're going to get this sermon out today. So maybe you guys are going to get the full double barrel blast where they, at the first service, only got half. We're in chapter 3 of the book of John. Some of the greatest things in Scripture happen in the book of John. And in chapter 3, we see Nicodemus come to Jesus at night to talk to him about some flattery. And Jesus cut it short and said, okay, that's not the issue. What you're really here for is you need to be born again. And that takes us up to verse 9. Talked about the Spirit, of course, how the Spirit moves. Nicodemus says, I don't get it. Verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? I am the teacher of Israel. I know how to put things together according to the law. I know how to teach people. That is my job, about what God wants according to the Old Testament. But I know you are a teacher. I know you're a rabbi, and you're bringing something new to me. And since you're bringing this newness to me, I can't put it together. I want to. I really do, he's saying. But he really wants to put it together the way he wants to put it together, not the way Christ wants to put it together. Do you know how many Christians want to put things together their way instead of Christ's way? And God is not in the business of allowing you to tell him how you need to get things together. I know, I've read all the way through the Bible, and I tried my best to find a verse I wrote. Can't find it. Gospel according to Hutch does not exist. So I'm going to go with the Lord on this one. And Jesus Christ sets some things up here that is outrageous. He throws some things at him, and he puts some Old Testament on him, because we say it over and over and over again, Nicodemus should have understood what Christ was saying. It was in the Old Testament. It had been promised. It is nothing new. But because we get blinded sometimes in how we interpret things, we don't see the truth sitting right in front of our face. Want me to prove it to you? And that's a good way to do it, isn't it? I don't get it. Verse 9. Jesus said, I know you don't. Let me tell you why. You don't understand. Look what it says. Jesus answered and said unto him, aren't you the teacher? Aren't you the man, the master of Israel? And you don't know what I am talking about? You are telling me you don't understand? Nicodemus, that isn't right. Turn with me to Ezekiel. I can't hear you. When you get there, give me some octane. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. You know, there was a time I used to go to the airport. Ezekiel 36. I want you to get there while I'm explaining. I used to go to the airport and I would walk in, and at that time you could carry more things on without someone embarrassing you. Can I have an amen? Amen. Making you feel like you are the terrorist. And I don't know what it is, but I think, well, I know what it is. There are people that don't like me that has a lot of control in computers. Okay? I can get to the airport at times, and I have three different reservations on three different planes at three different times. Because someone who don't like me from a certain group of people, not going to call names, will put in there, and I have three different times, three different flights, or three different airplanes. And you know what they do at the airport when they see that? It's an embarrassing search by the time you get through. I can go to the store. We can't even use our check at Safeway most of the time now because we're tagged through the computer that we are thief or something. I don't know what it is. Bam. And it's just the way life is if you're going to stand. Somebody can hack anything and put your name in something, and next thing you know, they got you in, assumed a position. But I used to go to the airport, and I would have my Bible in my bag. And they would go, sir, what do you got in there? I go, dynamite. You can't do that anymore. Think I've been tagged already. I just have to say, it's the Bible. It's my Bible. But don't you think it's a lot more exciting? That's dynamite in there. Because the first thing they want to know, what are you talking about? The word of God. It'll blow you up if you get in. Everyone got Ezekiel 36? Check this out. Do you think the teacher of Israel knew the Old Testament? Do you think that he has already seen the word of God saying to him, but he does not understand it? Look at verse 20. This is so true even today of Ezekiel chapter 21 to 36, verse 20. And when they entered into the nations to which they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. Understanding of that? That's why you got a pastor. Let me tell you what they're saying. They said, if you are God's people, people of the land don't like you. Number one, just because you say you belong to God, that alone, you don't have to do anything else. That alone would tell them they do not like you. We're going to talk in chapter 3 here why they don't like you. And the second reason there in that verse, it says, because those who say they're God's people don't live the way God say live. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that's true today? If you say you are a Christian, how many people applaud that? How many people just get so excited because, man, we got a Christian in the midst of us. And now we know we got to watch out what we say. What we do. My brother, bless his holy soul, Dave Brown. We nicknamed Dave Brown Shekinah Glory because he was always in the Holy of Holies, regardless where he went. And he was such a witness for Christ that he would walk in and light would shine and everyone knew. And one day a guy didn't know Dave was in the room and he turned around as he's cursing. And he sees Dave and he goes, oh, sorry, bro. I didn't mean that. Dave says, that's okay. You can quit cursing, but you're still going to hell. You're just going there without cursing. Now, would you like to know how you can get out of that? That was Dave Brown. That's pretty bold. That's insensitive. If you say you're God's people, no, they will not, young people, like you. But just believe it. You're in good company. They didn't like Jesus either. Can I have an amen? And I think he's going to be our final judge. Verse 24, Ezekiel 36. For I will take you from among the nations. Here we go. I'm going to pull you out of where you were. I'm going to pull you out of just the earth itself. I'm going to pull you out of this visitor situation that you're in, because this isn't your home. And I shall gather you both on the earth, he's talking about, and he's talking spiritually in the future, what he's going to do. And I will bring you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Your own land, talk about what is Israel, supposed to be Israel, where they have never, ever claimed all the land that God gave them. Never have they got all the promise. And they keep trying to negotiate and give more away than they already have. So when we as Americans try to ask the Jews and the Israelites to give their land away so there can be peace, you're telling them, disobey God. And when you disobey God, there never will be any peace. I'm going to bring you out of your country. I'm going to bring you from all over the world. That happened temporarily, periodically, but he's going to talk about pulling all of us out of here one day. And I am looking forward to flying. Verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Water, wait, whoa. Didn't we talk about some water stuff in John chapter 3? You mean to tell me that God talked about this water, this first birth, this going into one land, you born again to get into another? Do you think that Nicodemus should know that? He's the teacher of Israel. Now check this out. This is when it really gets smooth. He says, I will sprinkle you with water, and what shall you do in it? And I will make you clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. That's the new born again life. This is what God has promised back in the Old Testament, what he's going to do after the law when he comes into grace. And Nicodemus should have known that. You should have known that. You should know that. You should be living that. I should be living that. You become a believer, your life must change. Because you know there's some things about light and dark. Dark don't lack light. Can I have an amen? Amen? But you know what's worse? Light don't lack more light. Now, Elder, you know what I'm talking about? There's some light that people don't want. You know, so as a Christian, I understood the gospel. I accepted Jesus. I got fire insurance for the future. Since I got fire insurance and not going to be condemned, then that's enough light for me. I see that I'm the only one that's excited about what I'm preaching about. Light don't like more light. I want to just be glad to be in the light so that I can be saved when Christ come and get me. But to have a different type of light, to have a glowing, to be not a dull bulb, but a light bulb in our society. Come on, y'all, come on. Are you satisfied with just being saved? You know how many Christians are? I'm saved, Pastor. Sorry. But they forget about one thing. God is their father, and the father disciplined his children. Should I be smiling about that? Thank you. Amen. At least I can have the Holy Spirit touch that baby right then, because y'all are quiet. Look at this, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit. Wait a minute. Did we hear something about the spirit in John chapter 3? That the spirit moves? And when the spirit moves and comes in, look what happened. Oh, look at this. And I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a new heart that now controls the flesh instead of allowing the flesh to control the old heart. The gospel. The gospel. But Nicodemus didn't know that. Why did he not know that? I think there's three reasons Christ gives him. Go back with me, please, to John chapter 3. I want to show you something real quick. You there? John chapter 3. Look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a teacher of Israel, and you don't know this? He says, you know why you're having problems with this, Nicodemus? You don't understand what I'm talking about. Remember last week, was a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the get inoculation to keep you from getting the real disease. Then you have just enough religion in your life to keep you from catching the real thing. It inoculates you. It gives you an immunity to really getting fired up for Jesus. That's Nicodemus. He got all the religion in the world, but he does not understand what it means for Christ. You know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of you right in here says, well, I just don't understand that. You know, if I understood it, I'd be able to do it. Do you know that understanding is not based upon you not knowing? Understanding here says the Holy Spirit has revealed it to you. And if you don't understand something, it's for two reasons. One, you don't want to get in the Bible to find out what it really says. And when you really find out what it says, you don't like it. So you want to get another religion. Okay, let's be honest. Make it simplistic? Let's make it simplistic here. How many of you can figure this one out? What does thou shalt not mean? What about thou shalt not do you not understand? Extremely complicated, isn't it? Can I have an amen, somebody? Amen. Ladies, let the pastor get in your grill. You that are married, and only you that are married, do you know that your body don't belong to you anymore? Can I get an amen, men?
Amen.
Do you know what the Bible says about your body once you say I do? You can't say I don't. You can't use your body as a weapon. I don't hear no rejoicing here. And what did I say? Married women, do you know what the scriptures say? And when there is a separation, it is an agreement of both. Can I get an amen from somebody? What's so hard to understand about that? Men, do you know what the Bible says about you? It's not your body anymore. It's hers. So if she tell you, go in there and eat that food and lose weight. No, that's not what the Bible says. Is that what the Bible says? We don't want to add to the scripture, do we? The Bible says you have to love and be sensitive to that woman. If you want to make love, it takes at least 3 days, not 3 seconds. You control your body because it's not yours. It's her. Can somebody ask me how hard it is to understand that? Oh, I just don't understand because, you know, we're human and humans have drives. Sexual drives. When I was a young man, than I am now, because I'm still young. Just my sickness make me look older than what I am. I used to have drives. Woo! Can I have an amen? God said what I'm talking about. Now that I'm older, my drives have turned into putts. Did I say that out loud? Something's wrong with me. Amen. Lord have mercy. But do you know what the scriptures say? Scripture tell me, even in the putting situation, my body's not mine. How hard is that to understand? Bible says, ladies, submit to your husband. Somebody explain to me, what's hard about that? Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Die for her. Anybody want to explain why you don't understand that? And if you understand it, why aren't you doing it? Single women, if you know your body's not even yours, it's God's. No jackleg buddy out there. Hold it down, Pastor. Getting personal. See, if I wouldn't have went to those verses, man, we'd be talking about this kind of thing. some fast-talking gigolo. Make you start feeling guilty because you don't want to give them your body? What does no sex before marriage mean to you, guys? Do you understand what the pastor's saying? So when someone walks up to you and go, hey, sex is the answer. You go, no, sex is the question. No, it's the answer. I don't understand, Nicodemus saying. I want to understand, but I don't understand. There are some things, according to John chapter 9, when we get over there, it says that it's not what you don't know. It's not what you don't understand. It's going to be the problem. The problem is going to be what you refuse to see. That's verse 10. Oh, that's more verses. How many are we supposed to get through today? To verse 17. Woo, miracle. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, verse 11, John 3, we speak that which we know of, and we testify of it, that which we have seen, and you don't receive it, and you don't understand our witness. Ooh, number one, he doesn't understand. Nicodemus can't move because he don't understand. Number two, Nicodemus is not moving in the right direction right now because he won't receive it. You ever been there? Someone ever told you something that you just will not receive? And you may understand what they're asking you to do because that's why you don't want to receive it. You ever had one of those conversations and someone says something and then there's a but on it? You ever been there? Does anyone know that if there's a but on it, did you know they probably told you a lie before the but? What they really want to tell you is after the but. Just like Nicodemus came to Jesus. Oh, rabbi, teacher, you the man. Jesus, hey, don't flatter me. Be born again. Nicodemus says, I don't understand it, man. I'm having a hard time. I want to. Well, you, here I am. I'm the witness right here, right in front of you. Check it out. Well, I don't receive that because if I receive that, I got to not be the teacher of Israel anymore. I got to start learning just like everybody else. And that some of us in here as Christians don't want to give up our position. But I want to give you a secret. It's not yours anyway. Well, pastor, you know, you're the senior pastor of this church. And there are certain things you should demand. Let me give you a secret. If you want to answer Jesus and what he's commanding, I don't have a prayer to try to make you do anything. I can just tell you, whether you receive it or not, is another thing. Someone say amen to the best. Woo! That's more verses. That's more verses. Look at verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? What? If I have told you earthly things, sitting right here in front of you, and you don't, I see. Another reason Nicodemus can't move on is he not only say he don't understand, he not only won't receive it. Verse 12 say he won't believe it. Right in front of his face. And he won't believe. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Are you feeling it? Question is, are you accepting it? There's a lot of us here not walking with Christ because we just won't believe. Now, guess what? Believe is not just a simple word because even the demons believe, but at least they tremble. Amen? So believing won't save you. You know that, right? Just believing. You can believe that chair will hold you up, but until you sit in it, it hadn't done you any good. Belief is an action. Come on, God. It's moving, it's acting, it's responding to. It says Jesus created, meaning Jesus acted upon it. He didn't just think about it, and I, of course, being God, that would have been enough for him. He could have thought about it, boom, there it is. But he says he acted upon creation. He moved to bring everything that is. That was nothing. He came from nothing to everything. That's belief. That's action. You can't just say, I believe in God and thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life and changing me. No, you got to act upon it. You got to change direction. Belief is all encompassing. You just can't sit in your belief and be okay. Belief means you have faith. Faith means that you have works. Works don't save you. It's produced because you're saved. Oh, so he couldn't believe. Wow. He didn't receive. Wow. He didn't understand. Wow. And there's absolutely no reason for any one of you in here not to understand, not to receive, because you all believe. That's your pastor. If it's in the book, I want to understand it. And you're going to have to help me on something here today, because there's verses that throws me up a little bit. And I've studied it for years. I think I come to some conclusion, but I fully don't understand it yet. And that is my drive to understand the word. Verse 13. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven, has come down before you, Nicodemus. And here I am standing right before you. What problem do you have? Folks, he's saying, look, if I give you a simple truth and you don't accept it and you're not living it, why should I give you more? Can't hear you. God says, I've given you a promise that I will supply all your needs. What in that statement do you not understand? I will supply all your needs. Bam. Done. If God doesn't give you something, guess what? It is not a need. And guess what? You don't need it to become like Christ. Guess what? How hard is that to understand? Can you rest in that? Because God says, if you can accept and rejoice in the needs he gives you, then he wants to bring a little bit more. And maybe he wants to add some wants. Can I get it? I am not going to get excited for you. You got to get excited for yourself. What's Sam Marvin? Are we flowing, brother? Bam! What's the word? That's the more word here. Pastor isn't through yet, and neither is the clock. Can I have an amen? Because a lot of times, you guys know how I preach, right? I don't have A, B, C, and D points. I have verse by verse by verse by verse. And when the time runs out, I stop on that verse. And hopefully next time we can start on that verse with the next amount of time. That's how I preach. Because that's how God wrote. Sometimes you have 3 points, like I just had 3 points. Did you guys notice those 3 points? Understand, receive, and believe. Scriptures make his own points. Just follow scripture. I love this. I came from heaven. That's a bold statement right there. I came from heaven. And there's nothing in heaven that I don't know about that you need to know if I hadn't told you. We're more concerned about what's going on in heaven or what's going to happen in heaven or what's going to happen in the future event than living today. Just live today. That's the fate God's given us. He has given us no more fate for tomorrow. He's not giving us faith for next week. He's not giving us faith for next month. And he's not giving us faith enough for next year. God gives us enough faith for right now. That's from heaven. He did that with the Israelites. Oh, hark. Maybe that's why we have the next verse. Because it blew my mind. It don't make sense. Like it comes from nowhere. I came from heaven. Oh, you know how Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness? Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, verse 14. Now that sounds like it's pretty simple, but it don't make sense. If you know the story of the serpent, oh, I see in your faces that you do not know the story of the serpent. Should we turn to scripture again? Okay. I know you already know where it is, so I'm not going to even give you the reference. I'm just going to start reading. Numbers Numbers chapter 21, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So if you don't know where it is, go all the way to the left and start going right. You'll find it real quick. And my Bible is page 197. Page 197. People go, Pastor, what Bible do you use? Mine. I use my Bible. Can I have an amen? I pray you use yours. Now, let me tell you what kind of Bible I use. And so if you want to follow it, I don't think they even print them much anymore. They're like gold to find. So if you find some gold, share it with the pastor. All right? I use the Scofield Revised King James Edition of the Bible, copyrighted in 1909. Copyrighted again in 1917. Copyrighted again in 1937. Copyrighted again in 1945. The last copyright was 1967. That's the Bible I use. Can I get an amen? If you don't have that one, you're going to have a little problem sometimes following me. This is the same Bible that Jesus used, so I'm not changing. I am a sick man. Amen. Woo! Scofield and Jesus for Brian Eggman. Woo! Numbers chapter 21, verse 5. Are you with me? Check this out now. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loathed this light bread. Can anyone tell me what's light bread? Wonder bread? Build your body in 21 ways. Was that what that bread was? What bread is this? Mary Casey's manna?
Yeah.
Okay, good. If she agree, then I know I'm wrong. She's always picking on me about me not using the scriptures right. What's wrong with that girl? Pray for her. They had a problem not being satisfied with where they were. Someone tell me manna from heaven every day, fresh, cooked by God. They weren't satisfied. A lot of them tried to pick extra just in case he don't bring it tomorrow. Anyone know what happened every time they pick extra? Spoiled and rotted. Bam! Overnight. If they would have gone ahead and eaten it, they could have invented cheese a lot sooner. Just kidding. Some of you get that on the way home. I was extremely smart on that statement. I don't know. Is it that you don't understand you're supposed to be content where you are? What does the word murmur mean to you? Murmur, 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 murmur. Millions. Moses was leading millions of people, and they're all complaining. Murmuring, talking against God, talking against Moses. Yeah, you don't know how to lead. We should have stayed in Egypt. You guys know what complaining is? Complaining is a sign of a wilderness believer. Do not complain. Is that hard to understand? Don't complain. Why? Because I am so grateful to God that I am in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. I am so glad we're under grace and not the law. You want to see what happened when you murmured under the law? And I love this statement because it's so God. It is so God. Oh, I don't like what's going on. Did that scare you? I'm sorry. I forgot there's other people around. Me and God's in the Word right now. That same thing happened at the house sometimes. My family think I failed or something. Yeah, I see the Word hit me. I go, wah! Boom, 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 boom. You okay, Dad? I just say, hey, Word up. Some of you on the other side of the track understand what I'm saying there. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people. And after they bit the people, a whole bunch of them was dying. Can I get an amen? If I could just have a little bit of that, it's a couple of services. Just walk to some Christian homes and go, Oh, that's a plant in here. Open the box. When you guys repent, we'll be back to get the snakes. Do you know that some crazy people, man, in the South? Snake worshipers? In that service, the man that praying to God and going, oh, God's going to protect me. They reaching these big old bags of snakes and pull out snakes. Are they nuts? Thank you. We don't want to judge somebody, but they have already judged themselves. Picking up snakes. God turned these snakes loose on little red serpents. Anybody know what a little red serpent can be? They bite you and you're dead in 3 seconds. You're gone. You just, boom. Hit the bloodstream. You're gone. Swell up. Ooh. And they are just going around just having fun. You know, at least the snakes are happy. Because God is a God of all creation. Can I get an amen, Mike? The snakes are happy. And what happened? They repented. Now, everything bad happens to you is not because you're sinning. Can I get an amen? But do you know what a lot of things is? A lot of things come in your life because you are murmuring. And God says, I'm tired of your murmuring. I'd rather hear you praying. Control your tongue. You know how many Christians go out the hell and just curse like a merchant marine? I can't hear you. What do you understand about don't let profanity and coarse things come out of your mouth? Send the snakes, Lord. I don't know what it's going to take for you and I to repent when we go off. But do you know how you can learn how to control your tongue so you'll never curse again? Someone, no, don't raise your hand. But let me tell you, wow. If you're praying, you can't curse. If you're praying, your tongue is under control. And if your tongue is under control, it's probably going to give glory to God if you're controlled by the Spirit of God instead of giving out your frustrations. And I'm sorry. These bunch of hirelings called pastors today who think they can jump up in the pulpit and curse because it's going to relate to society. I can't wait till Jesus come and sit in one of their services. See how much he likes it. But guess what? He's in every service. Oh, Moses, Moshe's. That's how you really say it, because it's a Egyptian name, not a Hebrew name, given by Pharaoh's daughter to him. Moses, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. We've spoken against you, praying to the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us. Oh, Moses, please pray. And it says Moses prayed, and God heard the prayer, and he went and he removed the snakes. Didn't he remove the snakes? No, he did not remove the snakes. Let me give you a little secret what he did. Because there's a lot of times you and I get in sin, and God won't remove the consequences of it, will he? Okay. Come on, church. Help me out here. I'm preaching hard and just looking at me with strange faces. He didn't remove the snake. Look what he did. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent out of bronze and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, so it was very high in the congregation. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of bronze, he was healed. I want to ask you a question. That snake was that poisonous. How quick had they get their eyes up on the serpent? Huh? Can I have an amen? I mean, they had to concentrate. Number one, they got to always know what a red serpent is on that pole. Always. They got to be sensitive to where it is, because God didn't remove the snake. God says, your complaining brought the snake. Now, I'm just going to give you a cure for your complaining. This is what I don't understand, though. I understand lifting up. The next verse. I understand in John 3, the lifting up. Because it says, Christ is going to be lifted up. Can't hear you. Amen. Christ is going to be lifted up. And as you looked and they looked at the serpent and were saved, you need to look up at Jesus on the cross and be saved. But that's where it blows my mind. Because do you know what happened? If you know the whole story, you know what happened with the red serpent? Later on, they start worshiping the red serpent on the pole. Now, I can relay it if that means you start realizing it's Christ and you worship Christ. I can understand that part, but that's not what it says. It says they forgot God and was looking at the red serpent. So what does that mean with Christ? It blows me up. Someone get in it too. I would love to hear what you think. Because you can't get your eyes off of Christ and it becomes an idol. This one did. So the only thing I could think about was out of Corinthians of 12, 13, and 14, where the Christians, we today in the church, stop thinking about Christ and thinking about what he's given us. And we worship what he gives us. We stop thinking about the giver and we worship what he gives. Even in our gifts, our spiritual gifts. You know how many churches are built upon a particular gift? And if you don't have it, you really don't know God? What in the world is wrong with us? What's wrong with us? It's about Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. And when we learn again to fall in love with Jesus, there's a new motivation. There's a new enthusiasm. There's a new obedience factor that sets in. But if you're just doing it because it's church, you are some of the most miserable people in the world. I know you are, because you cannot enjoy all these rules and laws that you think is on you if you don't know the reason why they're on you. And it's not to burden you. His yoke is easy. It's light. Let's finish up and we'll close out. Back to John. Oh, my goodness. Jesus, you are good, good, good. That whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 15. Whosoever shall believe in him shall what? Not perish. Anyone in here know what perish means? Shall not perish. Because whether you're a Christian or not, you're not going to perish. Right? A non-believer is going to live forever in eternal judgment. He's not going to perish. Believers are not going to perish. So there's got to be a difference in understanding what perish means. Perish means you won't become a martyr. You won't be martyred. Jesus Christ became the martyr for you and I, so we don't have to. Non-believer is going to get the treatment that Christ got for eternity. He's going to be martyred every day in eternity. And I don't know about you, but I don't like that. Dave Felster, what's happening, my brother? I said, like a lame. I want you to stand up, my brother. Okay, Dave's going to help me through this verse, and you guys help Dave as Dave helped me. I want you to encourage Dave. I am. Look, see, I've made Dave stand because he's one of those new guys where he done turn pages. He iPods me. Sheffy put me up to the... No, he didn't even know I was going to do it, because until I saw you, I was going to get Sheffy. You Microsoft and ex-Microsoft peoples. Dave, my brother, would you help me with John 3:16? And I want you to break it down for me. We don't go so fast. Because John 3:16, ladies and gentlemen, is the ultimate verse that entails all of Scripture. From Genesis 1:1 to Genesis to Revelation 22:21. The whole Bible is in John 3:16. Okay, it is the ultimate of understanding, and you need to understand John 3:16. My brother, would you start off reading John 3:16, and I'll tell you when to stop. Oh, that's good. That's good. For God, the greatest giver.
Amen. So look.
Who? The greatest degree. Is there anybody else anywhere at any time has loved more than God? And when he says, so loved, the greatest degree of love is explained right there in that verse. The world, the greatest planet. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You know why we know it's the greatest planet? Because it's the only planet in all of creation that has man on it. That's why we know there's no other life anywhere else, on any other planet, in any other galaxy. I don't care how far. The greatest planet, because Jesus visited it and died on it. My brother. Oh! The greatest act. God did not have to give, but he gave anyway. What did he give, Dave? Begotten Son. We are working together. Are we flowing? It's only begotten Son. The greatest gift. I want to ask you a question. If someone walked up to you and said, I got the greatest gift you can ever have. And you go, I don't want it. That person that says, I don't want it, is an I-10-D-T. Excuse me, I-D-10-T. Can I have an amen? Write that out when you get home. He is an I-D-10-T. Idiot. Can I have an amen? You'll figure that out on the way home. Ooh, the greatest gift? You know what's even worse than not accepting the greatest gift, church? Let me tell you what's worse. It's getting the gift that's the greatest and not opening it. You know how many of us as Christians have accepted that gift and it's just the gift to set on the side? Next, my brother.
Whoever believes.
Oh, that whosoever. The greatest opportunity. The greatest opportunity. Whosoever. That means everybody. Greatest opportunity. Yes, my brother. Thank you. Believe. The greatest simplicity. God didn't make it that you got to go to college for 4 years. You got to get a degree. You got to help bring in 150 new people to the church. Believe. The greatest simplicity. In him, the greatest attraction. There's no greater attraction than Jesus Christ.
Shall not perish.
The greatest promise? Oh, shall not be martyred. Next.
But
oh, you're moving too fast, bro. But, thank you. But the greatest difference. Because what I say, anything that someone tells you, always watch what comes before the but. And if he gives you the truth before the but, watch the truth after it. But the greatest difference?
Have.
The greatest certainty. You will have it. You can go to bed on it. You can take it to the bank that you're going to have the greatest eternal life. The greatest possession. You can't get any greater than that. And give my brother Dave a hand. I miss Dave on Mondays. He's learning Spanish. But that's okay, Dave. We'll wait for you to come back after you get through with your class. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing greater in all the world than our Lord Jesus Christ. It's about him. The greatest of all times, not Muhammad Ali. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Father, thank you for this great word. And forgive me, Lord, if I got in the way, because it's about you. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.